Wake up, sheeple. Virtual reality is not even virtually real. That and more on this episode of Android App Addicts. Everybody, welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 517. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, and whatever else happens to cross our mind. I am your host, Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining me this week are the people you're really here to hear from. The door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the great one, the exalted one, the manager, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. The here-to-here kind of reminded me of door-to-door.
So when somebody says here, is that H-E-R-E or H-E-A-R, or is it H-E-R-E-H-E-A-R? Here, which is that?
E-R-E.
Is it? Or is it here as in listen to what this man is saying? Here. Or is it here as in bring your attention here? Which is it?
Man, good. I don't know.
If only there were some repository of information that we could all look up.
I could see it being everywhere.
The chat room says yes, it is.
Okay, what I'll say is, language communication itself is a multitude of things. It is not only the spoken word, but it is the intent, the underlying intent, the hand gestures, the mannerisms, the environment, and the settings that complete the language. It's not just the words. And that's my excuse.
Somebody at some time wrote it or said it for the first time, and it meant something. So what is it?
First time we might know about first time might be the 3 millionth time. I'll say, me and Mark are bookending Florence.
Yes.
You're, I believe, just Lucky Florence. South of it.
Dang, girl, you go.
And I'm just north of it. And what I'll say is today was unbelievably calm in my neck of the woods, Mark. I don't know about you. This is Thursday.
It's raining, but nothing serious here. I think you can still get bread and milk in the stores, so, we're all right.
Well, in the United States, that's the first thing that goes, bread, milk, and toilet paper. Just a given. And two of those things I can't eat, and that's not the toilet paper.
You can eat that one? There's a lot of carb content in toilet paper.
Fiber.
That's not good. That's not good. Now that I stop and think about it, I'll say this. It's really good to talk to you guys. I will first and foremost apologize to all the listeners, all the Patreons, everybody. Really crazy time of the year. I got, you guys have heard the stories about my kids in the past. So what I'll say is, my youngest is his best behaved, I think, he's ever been in the very beginning of school. There's a lot of teamwork, a lot of both of us putting effort in, is what I'll say. He's done really good. The oldest is doing really good as well. But this is what I beg to have the school system that Mark's kids go to, where the time off isn't as drastic.
Mm. Yeah, it's there's good and bad to that. So, yeah, it feels like it's been like a month since we got together.
Nearly. It's been like 2 days, 3 days shy of a month in date.
Wow.
But yes.
I had stuff going. You had stuff going. It's just, it's almost like we have lives.
Summer is very busy. And, I still think I have every planned for like another month of weekends that are just not mine yet. I thought that ended in summer, but now it goes into fall.
Happens. But we're here now.
Yes.
That's all that matters.
We're here today.
Oh, wait. I hope it
is. It's one of the things that matter.
Right. And before Mark even asks, I'll jump in and say, the only hardware news I have, Mark, is this phone is definitely nearing death. You know what I mean? If this was a human life form, it would be probably in its late 80s. You know, kind of thing. If you put on a stress test,
it
might die.
Is it death because of like a death? Council has determined that its age is too old and there's newer ones to take its place, or it's death because it's flaking out, the battery don't work, and it's cracked all over the screen.
Well, I mean, the corners definitely show signs of life, is what I'll say. They've been worn, no doubt. I've dropped it more than a couple times. The battery, though, is weird. Two times in the last month or so, we'll go to do something like open a camera, and the phone will just lock, and then I hold down the power button. As soon as I turn it back on, it says battery below 20% powering down. and it's actually at 0%. I plug it up, it says 0%. It's done that twice. The other day, it jumped from 60-something percent down to 30%. Now, really quick, for the noob, complete noob with batteries, and Mark is the guy who I think has experience.
What phone is that again, Dora, for everybody?
Huawei
Honor
8X? Yeah, Honor 8X, I believe. It's a great device, but when batteries start to go out, one of the things that all devices do is they, instead of telling you that the phone or the battery cannot hold a complete charge, thus showing the maximum at like 86%, let's just say, instead what the device will then do is say, well, now 86 is the new 100, and just make it like look like that. But then there's once in a while times where the battery, I don't know, I'm going to guess, changes quality too fast, and then the numbers will jump.
Huh. I didn't know that. I learned that today.
So battery meters are based on the voltage. The battery, the phone has no idea what the actual capacity of it is, but it knows that at full charge, it's, call it 12 volts, and that 12 volts steadily drops off over time. So that's how that works. When your phone is only putting out 11.6 volts, it shows you, you know, 70% or whatever. New lithium batteries in particular that have the independent cells, as those cells die and switch off, the capacity of the battery overall diminishes, but it still starts out at 12 volts, right? It gets a full charge until such time as there's not enough cells left to get you your 12 volts. So that's why the battery meter is always unpredictable, because it's not actually measuring battery capacitance. It's measuring the amount of output from the battery at any given time. And that changes from the moment the battery is made until the moment it no longer takes a charge.
Yeah, I mean, it's doing that, which to me is age. But I'll say this. This phone has been put through more than 60 gigabytes of mobile transfer data. Probably each month, 60 gigs, and half of that, close to half of that, is probably tethering, which means it's also using the Wi-Fi antenna as well, for well over a year, close to 2.5 years, I want to say, about 2 years. So if there is a possibility that a antenna or circuitry with the antenna could wear out from overuse, I think I might be a use case for such a event happening. I don't know. So look, the phone has done its job spectacularly for the price. It was sub 300. I got it for 280. And it was like one of the best bang for the buck experiences I've had, period.
If there's a hardware developer who listens, and they're trying to test out new battery scenarios, send Dor a demo unit, as long as it's, he doesn't have to go to any kind of a American store at all to pick it up or something.
Well, and like, here's one of the things that I'll say I noticed. Not consistent Wi-Fi speeds at home. Could be the kids, could be tablets or whatever. But I've also noticed seemingly 16 hours a day or so, I do have Podcast Addict manually refreshing. Even though I subscribe to 140 podcasts, I am always either out or just about out of podcast to listen to, which is very upsetting. So I always refresh, you know, trying to get stuff. So I spend a good amount of my bandwidth every day just refreshing RSS feeds.
You can't set that on a schedule automatically?
I can, but it's not quick enough, because when I run out of a podcast, I'm still going to refresh it.
True. So speaking of Podcast Addict, did you see that they added a donate straight from the podcast button in their latest revision?
Yeah. Yeah, on I was looking at Podnut's Computer Repair Podcast show, and I did notice it was there. When you go into a show that somehow has a Patreon account on it, I don't know if he literally like paid people to go through and find those shows and enable them in the interface, but now right in the interface of Podcast Addict, when a show is a Patreon thing, when you go look at the show itself, not the individual episodes, I believe, it will tell you, you know, here's like a link. Well, and here's one thing I did notice, Eric. Mark off and on talks about file sizes for downloads. 100 meg this, 300 meg that, 800 meg this. Do you know, I'm going to ask you, because I know you don't look either, because nobody would. How big is Podcast Addict? That, see, I want to do a game show.
How big is the install of the app Podcast Addict?
Yeah, which is among the most popular apps.
I'm going to guess 3.5 megs.
I want to say you were right. It was like 3.2 megs. which is amazing.
That's efficiency.
It is a primary downloader of usage of space on my drives on my phones, and it itself is teeny. So it, Xavier's a good coder, and I support him on Patreon too.
Very cool. Thank you, Xavier. You're doing great things. Keep it up.
Right. So then I'll say, Mark, do you have any hardware news? Because it's one of us has that
indirectly. So last week, 2 weeks ago, sometime in the recent past, my littlest child was not feeling well, and she stayed home from school that day. And so she was curled up in mom and dad's bed, and it was one of my days where I happened to work from home. So my studio, where I'm sitting right now, is also where I work from home. And so I walked into the little room. It's 8 feet away from where my daughter was curled up in bed, and typically I would say, Alexa, turn on the studio lights, and because the room that I'm in doesn't actually have any light fixtures, so everything's plugged into a smart outlet. But I didn't want to wake up my child to do that, so I pulled out my phone, and I opened up the smart home app, and I went to the thing, and I pushed the button, and the light came on. And I thought, I'm sitting here with within easy reach of about five broken and or old phones, and I shouldn't have to do this anymore. So later that day, after I was done with work, I resurrected my old Nexus 5, which has a cracked screen, but the digitizer still works. I opened up the app on it. I used the accessibility features to zoom in so that the button takes up almost all of the screen, and I Velcroed it to the wall by the door. So now, and it's plugged into a charger. So now I walk in and I tap the thing, the light comes on. I walk out, I tap the thing, the light goes off. So it's the world's most expensive light switch.
You have smart switches.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's indirectly hardware news. And I just thought this audience would get a kick out of that. If you've got old phones laying around and you've got smart devices, put those two things together.
And I'll say this. If something happens and you're in an emergency situation and your power goes out, like, I don't know, a hurricane, you could then rip it off the wall and play Doom on it. What I mean,
use it
what
as a flashlight. That's kind of where I thought you were going to go. But, you know.
Sorry. Doom. Can't help it.
So that's where Taiwan Tech and Android App Addicts come together, right there in that little story.
And to be honest, that's a really good use case. I want to say I have two phones technically I could do that with. And I'll say this. I thought my son broke the key off in the door, and I thought we were going to have a hard time getting in the house. And I remembered the back door is a slider, always locked, you know, manual lock. The garage door is powered, and we don't have the button thingies. They've been gone for years. So I'm thinking I have to connect it now to a Raspberry Pi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I can at least open it up. Now, the question, of course, becomes, and I already know the own answer to this, do I port forward, a.k.a. do I make it publicly addressable?
Why
the answer
is no. Yeah.
No, I do not. I would make it to where I have to be in within physical range of the Wi-Fi network to connect to do it. So there's at least that. But that's what I got to do now. You know, and I have an old phone. Technically, I could just inside of there.
Because you'd have to.
So if you're not. Oh, go ahead.
You'd have to have a battery backup, not only on the device, but on your Wi-Fi network if you were going to do that to survive a power failure.
Okay. I already do. And my standard Raspberry Pi backup power is a $29 RAV power, which will power at least a Raspberry Pi for well over 48 hours. So I'm going to hope it does a phone for at least like 6 or 8 hours.
So if you're somebody else in your family standing outside the house and you're not home, you can just call them and tell them, hey, type in this IP address and then do this and it'll open.
Technically, I can, yes.
Yeah. Richard Hughes has got all that set up. He could probably help you out pretty easily.
Well, I know, but the gimmick is that no matter what, I'm not, the only way I could make it publicly addressable involves a new Twitter account, a private Twitter account, and DMing it, which still I don't like.
Dungeon Master your garage door?
Yeah.
I don't blame you. I'd do that too.
I mean, the only other hardware news I'd say, Mark, is Qualcomm had a press conference where they released the next generation chip for Android Wear type usage.
Yeah.
And it, to me, is a big bunch of money.
I sold a device. I sold a Note 4 that I had laying around on the Let Go app. Super simple. Sold it in one day. Sold it with a bunch of the accessories I had also laying around next to it for $100. Well, no, I'm sorry. I asked $100 and he talked me down to 70. I actually only wanted 50 though. So I was fine with that.
Some fruit-based electronics company released a new phone. Do we want to mention that at all?
That's a lot of math. I was excited because I wanted to see what was new, and it's bigger.
Was it today?
It was yesterday.
Or yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that shows you how out of it I am. I heard people talking about expecting what they were going to say, but I never heard the follow-up.
Their watch got thinner, and their screen on their big phone got much bigger. That's all I got out of it.
So it's a tick and not a tock, or
right.
A
you know, they, and not a they always have the number and the number S, right? So this is just the XS. So yeah, it's a incremental update, not a new device.
Pixel 3 is just around the corner. I'm hoping they're awesome. I'm sure they will be.
Well, you heard about the rumor.
The notch is just a rumor, and they'll come out and say, "Hey, we don't need no stinking notches."
I don't know, something to that effect. Yeah. Yes, it's like, how bored do you think people are?
Somebody probably Ivor in our Google Plus posted an app for a notch. I don't know, not notch replacement, but it just kind of covers it up, so it makes everything black up there. But then you still have your notifications, which I thought was a good solution, rather than moving everything down a few pixels to get below the notch to hide the notch. I don't know. I've never had a notch phone. I don't know if I'd be bugged by it or not.
I'd say, it was called like nacho something because I like nachos and I haven't been able to eat them. I remember that part. I will say Honor is supposedly announcing a 7X Max, like in the next day, 2 weeks, something. That is the same form factor as the Mate SE, which is the same phone as the Honor 7X. One is international, one is USA only. One has double internal hard drive space and a gig more RAM. That's the SE. That's what might be my next phone, but they are going to announce one supposedly exact same form factor, except screen all the way to the top and no notch. And if you want to take a selfie, you have to activate it for the camera to come out. AKA, I never press a damn button.
Yeah. Maybe they should just make a phone that doesn't have a front camera once and see how that sells, well, just to test the waters. Because I never use my front camera. Never use my front camera.
They're terrified. Well, here's the thing, Eric. I lie. I actually do use my front camera. Did I tell you what I use it for?
Check your teeth?
No. Whenever I have to plug up a cable to a computer monitor, I lay the phone on the desk, slide it so the front of it is underneath the monitor so I can see the sockets so that I can just reach and just plug up.
That makes sense. That's good use.
And that's the only time I use my front-facing camera.
I guess I've looked like under drawers, under cabinets and stuff where you could just slide your phone in a little bit. You have the flashlight on and the front camera just to see, you know, what's living in there.
Yeah. But, I mean, I wish they would sell a phone without put a headphone jack in and no front-facing camera. They'll sell a bunch. That's
what I'm saying. Did you watch the Nintendo Live event today?
No, it started after I already had my wife in the car, and ain't no way I'm listening to a Nintendo event while driving. I'm sure she would think that's unsafe. She already considers my driving unsafe, so let's just start there. Then as soon as I got home, cook for the kids, do this, take that, go over father-in-law's house, he's not home, check his mail, blah, 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 blah. Missed the whole thing.
Oh.
But I will say, like, one of my favorite Android games is coming to the Switch any day now, Horizon Chase.
Oh, yeah.
And then here's, like, one of my beliefs. Like Mark says, pay for what you like. I'm a firm believer in not only paying for what you like, but if you find somebody you think doing really good work, once in a while, go out of your way to support them, either by mentioning their name to somebody, like, you know, hey, you should try this game or, you know, something like that. Or if they come up on a different platform that I also have access to, why not buy it there too? It ain't that much.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, you know, $15.
I think what's it called? Horizon Chase would be very fun on a Switch when you're using a joystick to control your car.
Yeah. Well, there'll be multiple ways. They already said, like, no mini payments at all. You just buy the game. You have access to everything through winning races.
For those who don't remember, that's a lot like the old arcade game in graphics quality and playability as Cruisin' USA, wasn't it?
I would say in very similar style, Cruisin' USA, everything from Pole Position to Cruisin' USA, game mechanic-wise, very close to Top Gear, which I believe was on Super NES, maybe NES, but I think it was Super NES, Top Gear, but art-wise, very close to Cruisin', now that you say that. I didn't think of it before, but yes, art style is very close. Fun, and just stupid fun is the way I like to put it. Yeah. not everyone wants to play Stardew Valley all the time, you know?
Yeah, I still haven't. I spent some money on an app this recently. I spent big money. I may have never spent this much money on an app before. And that's going to be my first app. Are you guys ready?
Bring it.
I can't hold back.
We're only 23 minutes in. Why would we bring an app now?
Yeah, that's true. This, and you guys are going to have to tell me how much this costs because I don't have it in front of me no more as far as that. It just says installed. This is called Virtual Reality, and it's by Tender Claws, and it's an adventure game. The premise of this game, I'm going to tell you, I haven't watched the videos or even looked at the screenshots of this yet. The premise of this game's not going to sound like it's a whole lot of fun, but it's for the daydream. I'm not sure if it works with other VR headsets or not. But basically, you need to have a joystick, or you need to have a controller with it. But basically, it puts you in all of these different scenarios. It's sort of portal-ish, where robots have kind of taken over. And when you have your VR headset on, you're in a world, and then you actually put on virtual VR headsets, and the robots make you do menial jobs for them that they don't want to do. They're basically outsourcing your human resource to do different things.
Oh man, this Eric.
The game is amazing. It's probably the best I've ever seen as far as VR to this point.
I'm just going to say this, Eric. I believe my son watches a guy on Disney Channel who plays games. Parker plays. All he does is play games. I'm pretty sure as I walked by one time, I'm going to guess they were playing this because he was literally trying to explain that he was going to try to explain to people that he was playing virtual reality inside of virtual reality.
That's probably this.
So it might be the same thing, and it's $8.99.
And if you have a Daydream headset, which is also, they're not just the magenta or pink one like I have, they're all on clearance sale now for half off. So if you haven't picked up a Daydream and you're curious, they're $50. There's so many levels to this game. I've just scratched the surface on what I've done. I've maybe played a 30th way through it, probably, I'm guessing. And sometimes the robots don't even want you to do anything. They just want you to hang with them and remember one of their memories. Like there's one robot who just wants you to be there and experience a parade that went, the robot, I guess it's not a robot. It was actually the electrical grid wanted me to just sit there and hang out with it while she remembered a parade that went through downtown while she was supplying power to the entire town. And then basically you're just a giant and you're in the city. And you can look around, you can move around, and basically all of a sudden there's these floating, you know, cartoon characters on, you know, balloons getting walked down the streets. And you're just sitting there, she's telling you about the day and all the things. And then, you know, you hang with her and you pass that level. It's bizarre. It's just like the ultimate mini games of headset stuff.
I don't even where to begin.
Did you find any reviews, Mark? They were worth, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It doesn't sound very fun, does it?
No, it really doesn't.
I knew I was not going to be able to get that across.
Well, what I'll say is I'm a fan of the mini game concept games like WarioWare. There is no plot. There is no story. There is no nothing. There's just event-driven activities. And there are times, a lot of times, where like, as soon as the thing starts, you have like 5 seconds to start doing something or else you die and you move to the next event, the next scenario, the next encounter, the next, I guess, like this virtual reality. The only reason I like the idea is because it's virtual reality, then it gives it permission to do what anything. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, it's whoever thought the Star Trek reboot thing with the splitting of the timelines was a good idea. You'd have to agree this is a good idea. I freaking hate the timeline. I think we need to go back in time and stop that from happening. Well, no, I saw a good shirt. It said, if you're thinking about doing something and somebody from the future doesn't come and stop you from doing it, it isn't that bad of an idea.
I love that.
It's a good shirt.
I was at a birthday party this weekend for a child friend of a friend of my child's. And it was at a local bowling alley slash arcade, which is, you know, bowling alleys are pretty much the only place you can play video games anymore. Bowling alleys and many golf places. And they have this VR experience game set up where you hold, I believe it was a gun, it may have been gloves, maybe both, and you put on the VR headset, and 3 to 4 people can play at a time. And it was, you know, $850,000 for 2 minutes of play or something like that. And around it, they have TVs broadcasting what the people with the VR headsets on are seeing. And so I was sitting there with other old middle-aged dad type people sitting around watching this happen. And I turned to the guys I was with and I said, how long have they been promising virtual reality? And the best we've got is these mediocre video games. Like 40 years, they've been promising that virtual reality is right around the corner. And the best we can do are mediocre video games. I've completely given up on that technology entirely because, I mean, with all that we can do, we can't make anything better than a mediocre video game for virtual reality.
When you say mediocre, do you mean mediocre in graphics quality or gameplay?
Both. Right? They're all variations on move your hand over here and then move your hand over, maybe pull a trigger and look. So the whole thing is you look and then you pull a trigger or you point. I mean, that's crappy gameplay in any game. But because you're wearing stupid goggles, people think it's okay. It's not okay. It's crappy gameplay.
I know, but Mark, any day now. Right.
This particular title, did a couple things that I haven't experienced before, where it uses the speakers of, it uses the audio also, so you know, kind of a 360 degree audio to know, you know, what who's talking to you and things like that, and you can't. This isn't a sit down game. You have to stand up, and built into the Daydream, you can also show your friends on TV what
you're seeing in the goggles is 1,000 times better than this YouTube video in the Play Store. This game sucks.
Oh, no, this game doesn't suck.
No, you are just sucked in by the fact that it's novel, and you're letting that tell you that it's good. This game sucks in every way. It's just novel, and so you think novel means good. But it's not. It's not even novel anymore. This is 40 years of crappy gameplay where all you can do is look left and right and up and down.
What do you mean that's all you can do is look around? You do more than look around.
You can push your arm forward or backward.
Well, what else is it? I mean, unless you're strapping yourself into a roller coaster for like 4D.
That's not virtual reality. That's not even close to virtual. It's minuscule attempt at kind of coming near what reality might have been like in a different time and place.
So you what you want is you put on a headset and you can go to Mark's house, Atlanta, Georgia, and just walk down the street and just act like you're just, you know, just actually in Atlanta walking down the street. And then
I want Oasis. I want what I was promised. I want Ready Player One.
See, that's what I'm saying. You either watched Player One again or you listened to the audio.
No, it's just the thing. I mean, I remember being an excited teenage boy watching the Discovery Channel when it was new, and they were talking about virtual reality, and by the year 2000, we'll be able to have whatever, whatever. I've been lied to for 40 years.
The first show I saw it on was called Beyond.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was the first show that I remember them like seriously talking about it. Like it's
here. So you want a second life in virtual reality.
I want something that even comes close to reality.
So, like, maybe even better, maybe like the movie Surrogate with Bruce Willis?
Sure. Well, that's a robot scenario, but yeah.
I know, but it's right. Better than virtual reality because it's reality. I mean,
we're not at the Matrix level yet, right? But with all the hype, we should be. I should be able to jack into the Matrix and have because that's what they've been telling me for decades is coming right around the corner. How far away is that freaking corner? I feel like a kid in the back seat on a road trip saying, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
We'll get there when we get there."
Sorry, I don't mean to rant. That's my other show. But it's just, I'm week after week, you bring these lame-ass games and you talk about how amazing they are. They're not amazing, Eric. They're not.
You're crushing my dreams, man. I'll tell you what, this is a fun game that's going to, it takes a lot for me to go back to a game at all. You know what I mean? Not just because I bring them to the show, but I usually discard every game soon after I bring it to the show, except for BB Tan. We're not even going to talk about BB Tan. I didn't even mention that name. But this is going to keep me coming back, and maybe because I put a $7.99 investment in it. I don't know, but it's just, there's so much variety.
There's no variety. You're casting a fishing wand in every one of these scenes. That's not variety.
No, tell me the fishing wand you're casting, whether it's a flamingo and a frog.
It's exactly the same thing. You're casting a wand. It's like you've got you're going bass fishing. You just happen to be bass fishing in a kitchen in one and in a cornfield in another. It's exactly the same thing over and over.
I don't know. That's what you got. That's what you got.
Exactly. You're a sheeple. You've been bamboozled by the machine.
I could probably put that controller into a wheel, and I could make a driving game where I just steer.
Did we lose
like
Eric?
Steering wheel.
I ranted him right off of the show.
Am I gone? Am I back?
Eric paid for
it's
paid
cognitive for bias, does. Man. Because he paid $9 for it. He has
no,
to like it.
No, it's not. This is where you are absolutely completely.
Am I back?
Not even remotely close to being correct.
It's Am I here?
Yeah,
because
we hear you.
Good or not is not fact. Good or not is not fact. It isn't. There's facts, there's truths, and there's beliefs. And you believe the game sucks.
Can you guys see me?
And yeah, yeah, we can. I mean, you know, it's a game.
Just for those of you who may be fuming at me right now, I'm playing this up for effect. I'm not really angry about this, but honestly, it's time to be honest about virtual reality. It is nowhere near reality, and it's not even virtual. It is just bad cartoons.
I think of a driving game, and you know, I love driving games, right? So if you put this controller into a wheel and hold it in your hands, so then you're sitting in a car and you see the interior dashboard and everything. And if you look to the right, you'll see what's over on that side of the car, the passenger seat and what's out the window. And if you look to the left, you'll see directly out the driver's window. And you're racing. I mean, that's a step above regular race gaming to me. I think that's an improvement. It's more realistic. Well, I'm not saying it's, it's not reality. I don't think it'll ever be reality.
You guys, you talked about cruising, right? Cruising is a much better experience. It's much more virtual. It's much more like reality. When you're particularly like the arcade, they had that one at the bowling alley too. So you're sitting there and you're playing with four of your friends, and you see the game took a picture of you when you sat down. And your friends see your face, and you're driving. You have the control of a wheel. You have brakes. You have a gas pedal. That is far closer to reality than anything with a pair of goggles and a joystick.
But if you look to the right, all you see is your sister-in-law's butt because she's talking to your wife at the other part of the birthday party. You don't see, you know, the other.
So you're willing
to
give up fidelity in every direction for the sake of having direction.
Well, when you talk about Cruising USA, you're not giving up fidelity. There's no fidelity there anyway. That's not reality. Realistic.
No, but it's a much more engaging visual experience. Now, at this point, it's not about reality, but it is a visually pleasing experience. It's not blocky graphics.
Well, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, it's cartoonish.
Again, some people like bit graphics. Some people like realistic graphics.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little like you strapping on goggles and moving into Minecraft and talking about how hyper real it is because you can look left and right.
So that would be So that would be an enhancement to that game.
An enhancement, but it's not virtual reality.
No, I would never call Minecraft virtual reality in 2 or 3D.
No, they're getting ready. They do have it with the HoloLens because you know they're both Microsoft.
So anyway, let's talk about another app, shall we, Dor?
But the HoloLens, I don't think is even real yet or functional.
Yeah, I've
seen like demos.
I haven't heard about it. I've heard about that for a while.
Well, you know, the folding phone's right around the corner too.
Yeah, and the one that rolls up and the screen that you can paint on the wall. Those are all going to happen any day now.
Yeah.
And the watch that projects the keyboard right on your forearm.
Right. I'll say, you know, it's like some people love documentaries. Some people can't stand documentaries. VR... I'll say this. I appreciate the fact that they admit that they're not going to get like reality. The mark, I'll say by calling it virtual reality, it's like admitting we can't do real virtual reality. You know,
there you go.
I don't want to say they gave up.
They're admitting defeat there.
Well, because it's, I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's not plausible. It's not feasible. It's not economic. What I'm bringing is a purposeful repeat, and it's because I don't care. Because the game, honestly, was actually fun, is what I'm going to say. And that is Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn. I'm partially bringing it up because I'm begging for one of you guys to say that you actually
played. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago on our last show.
Right.
I played it. Thought it was a pretty mediocre game at its best moments.
I'll say I had fun playing it. I did like the suit.
Yeah, the diesel.
Yeah.
It's just the control. Did you use your joystick, your D-pad thing?
No, my oldest son said he used the MOGA though. The MOGA is a Bluetooth controller.
The controls on screen were really unintuitive on my 5.5-inch phone. And, you know, the things where you had to line up just right to hit a guy, and it was really easy to be one pixel too high or one pixel too low while he's beating you up. I found the gameplay to be not very playable. And like so many phone games, it ended up just being the same 5 moves over and over. I deleted it after a couple of days.
It says I have it installed. It's been a long time though. I'm sure I had to have at least played it before I uninstalled it, but I don't remember how it went for me.
Yeah, I'd say to me it was good, stupid fun is the way that I like to say it. Like brainless. Like the wife plays the block, I don't even know what it's called. It's not Candy Crush, but it's Candy Crush because they're all Candy Crush. You know what I mean? She's playing a version of that, and she admitted to me, oh, I just play this so I don't have to think.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah. That's all I could say was that's a fair statement. Okay. So then I started playing this, and there's no real thinking involved, you know?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, some people drink, drugs, whatever. Some people play games to not think, I guess. I don't know, fishing, a lot of things we could do to not think.
I felt that the story in Shaq Fu got in the way of it. Of course, I often feel that about lots of games, but, you know, every seemingly few seconds, it probably wasn't, they would stop the action long enough to give you some cheesy dialogue. And I understand that's part of the whole game is cheesy, but just in the end, I really wanted it to be a better game than it was.
The YouTubers say more like Shaq Poo, huh, Mark?
All right, let me read an email.
I don't know what I got to find out what Mark had for breakfast to make sure I never eat that.
What did I have? I had Krispy Kremes, actually.
Oh, see, there you go.
One of my coworkers brought Krispy Kremes and right, forced me, it. Tied me down, and shoved a sharp stick in my eye until I agreed to eat 3 of them. It was just cruel and unusual.
Cream filled?
No, just the regular glaze. But they were still the warm. Ones? Oh, it was just the best. I mean, it was terrible. It was a horrible experience.
So those who haven't had Krispy Kreme, the crispness comes from the solidified sugar on the outside of a donut, which gives it the crispy part, right?
The dough itself, the donut itself, is fried. So that has a nice little crispy crunch on the outside. Of course, the glaze doesn't hurt, but they're fried in such a way that they're incredibly moist and almost pillowy inside, but have a nice little crispy crunch on the outside. The Maillard effect as the proteins caramelize.
I've never been close enough to a Krispy Kreme to probably ever have one fresh.
If you get one hot off the line, it is a life-altering experience. It absolutely is unlike anything else in the world.
Because it takes like 3 friggin' weeks off your life.
Mine of all,
it's that good.
The only Krispy Kreme experiences I have are from fundraising ventures by kids. So I get a box of 12 of them. You know, I have no idea when they were baked or fried.
They dramatically drop in quality with every hour that they're old they get.
Yeah. All right. That's definitely what did it.
Yeah, and I'll say Krispy Kreme is one of the few places I know where it seems like 50%+ of the places where I see Krispy Kreme don't make Krispy Kreme. So there's literally like a guy going around in a truck or whatever dropping them off. So no matter where I see them, like in those places, I know they're not fresh. Who in the right mind buys these things? You know, because like Mark said, the first 3 minutes, it loses like half life, like 50% of its goodness. Like within, like, you know, literally less than 3 minutes, no doubt.
And it's,
I've, because we used to have one right across from work.
And it's an extremely automated factory for producing these, isn't it?
It's a marvel of engineering to watch. In many ways, the Krispy Kreme is similar to a McDonald's chicken nugget. If you can get a chicken nugget fresh out of the oil, it's absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. 30 seconds later, it's disgusting. Yeah. It's pretty amazing like that.
And again, I'll verify. I worked at multiple fast food places when I was young, and the best thing was a chicken breast or a chicken whatever out of the deep fryer, like 30 seconds out of the deep fryer. Cheese on it, nothing like what you would go to the counter and order. Nothing. And I ate a crap ton of them with literally, this is the way I would do it. Bun, cheese, chicken breast, cheese, bacon, cheese, bread. And I would literally eat like four of them each time I went to work for like 2 years.
And we wonder why you had a weight issue.
They were outstanding.
Sounds great. Sounds great.
And this was also the place where we did literally biscuits and gravy, a fast food place that did biscuits and gravy. You would order it. We would take one biscuit, cut it in half, put it in a little tray, and just take one ladle full over the top and close the lid. It was like a flat, low box. I would put like three times as much sausage in with the mixes I was told to. Oh, sorry, I slipped. I made a mistake. You know, but I did it every morning for like, 2 years kind of thing. So it like turned, and then all of a sudden we started doing really good sales, and the line would go around the building where people would come and order breakfast, and they would order, like almost everyone would order at least one biscuits and gravy. And it took them a year to figure out why.
Huh. Was it Hardee's or Carl's Jr.? We have a Hardee's. Yeah, we have a Hardee's here in our town that they have biscuits and gravy.
As long as we're talking fast food things, I worked at a burger joint in college, and one of the things they introduced was chili. And so you had this prod of chili sitting in the crock pot, basically. And anytime you prepared more burgers than was necessary, like you saw a big line of people, you'd throw meat on in the grill and you'd try to make your best guess. Anything you had left over, you'd chop it off and put it in the chili. And so you really wanted to get that chili like on the evening of the second day, because after the second day, you'd have to throw it out. You could keep it 2 days. But on the evening of the second day, it was like 80% more meat than it was to begin with. So people caught on to that, and they'd come in and say, when was the chili made? Oh, we just made it fresh this morning. I won't have any.
Nice. Was that Wendy's?
No, it's called Brahms. It's a regional. You wouldn't have heard it. It's a really high-quality burgers and ice cream, kind of like Dairy Queen.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles the other day. I can picture driving sometime in the future, and I see a Brahms, and I just slam the brakes on the middle of the street. I point that place, and I'm going there. And I'm going to ask.
They're only in Texas and Oklahoma, so.
Okay.
So Jonathan Kirk writes to us and says, "Hello, Android App Addicts teams. I'm helping people in my church configure their phone so that they can get help in an emergency as soon as possible, and so first responders can know about their health information. I did iOS last week, and I'm hoping to get Android on Sunday. I keep up with Android news by listening to your great show, and I rooted and ROMed the heck out of a Note 4 when it was new to get some experience, but I don't live on a daily basis. Could you give me some app recommendations or any other advice in this category? Thanks for the show." I got nothing for you, Jonathan. Guys, anything? Emergency apps?
I think I brought the Red Cross app. Is that what?
Well, no. That's what I was going to say. This is almost an unfair question. Because what do you mean? Emergency communications between Android devices? And then even if it's that, what level emergency? Are you talking like Armageddon type emergency? Or just a power outage emergency? Or just a, hey, Bob just stepped on a nail and it went through his foot kind of.
He did say first responder. So I'm assuming that he wants some version of a call the ambulance and here's a medic alert tag on my phone. That's what I'm hearing there.
That's a good idea. No, I don't.
The only two things I've ever heard of is there is an app that was pushed towards college girls to install on their phone, so if they thought they were going to get attacked, they could press a button and it would notify their friends. That's an extremely dangerous application, because there's nothing better than calling the cops, not your friends. Okay. 911. Put a shortcut on their home screen to dial 911. I mean, that's what I'm... And then on Android, I'll say this. In a true emergency, you cannot rely on anything that you as a user have the privilege to install and uninstall. Because anything you have the privilege to install and uninstall means it does not run at a higher security level. In Windows, you have normal users, limited users, and then super users, administrators, I want to say. Your apps that are running on your Android device that you go install are just running as standard user. So if you really want to rely on an application, like wholeheartedly, it has to be installed from the manufacturer, like, dare I say, text messenger or the phone dialer kind of thing.
Audience, we pose the question to you. Do you know something we don't?
Yeah, you might look around too. I mean, I think we've brought first aid apps too, you know, just like you can type something in like a cut and how to, you know, heal a wound and dress some kind of a gash or something. I don't know.
Right. And I'll say I did post a link in the Android App Addicts Google Plus community. That's a mouthful. It was to a special page. I believe I did it right. I'm checking it right now. On Google Play that was focusing on emergency applications. I guess this is what I'll say. Hurricane prep applications. You have Hurricane a American Red Cross FEMA application, the Weather Channel, Gas Buddy, Zello, PTT Walkie Talkie. I cannot believe they have Zello. Who in the hell is Voxer not paying to get on that? I mean, seriously, I've used that application. That application sucks. It's horrible. I cannot see how it has a management thing, because I hear about schools using it too, like for stuff. And it's like, why? The app sucks. So then you have Nextdoor, which is like Facebook, but more hyper local focused, where everybody in when I log in are basically people who live in my town kind of thing. And then, of course, Facebook at the bottom, because if anything should be at the bottom, it should be Facebook.
Show title. Somebody write that down.
Totally agree with the statement. And
so we do have an app from the chat room that I'll go ahead and put in there. Guy in the Tub recommends Fast Food Stand Fried Food Cooking Game, so that all three of us can relive our glory days before
I've
we had degrees.
Never worked in any kind of a food place other than delivering bread for a while to the food places.
So
so I can relive your glory days.
This actually looks like a game that my 9-year-old would absolutely love. She loves the cake baking, and she loves those kind of games. So there you go.
All right. Summer's not over. I got some more apps. Let's go. Come on.
Oh, man. This is a really, wow, bright and colorful.
Yeah, it's 9-year-old. That's for sure.
Man, this is hurting my eyes. Yeah, I can't look at this anymore. Sorry, guy in the tub.
All right, Eric, bring it.
Okay, I'm going to bring Badminton League by Redfish Games, because it's summertime. Badminton is the sport we all love to play the most in the summer. And this is a stylized 1v1 badminton game.
Well, isn't like summer over in like 5 days?
I am not letting summer up. I have at least three more kayaking trips I need to get done before this thing called summer's gone.
Ignore my reality and just substitute
it. Yeah, I'll just put a VR headset on and pretend it's 40 degrees warmer than it is. That works, right?
Yeah, but you'll be able to look left and right, and that makes all the difference.
if you're coming up on rapids, it does. All right, anyway, this is just a quick and dirty little app for playing badminton. It's fun. Takes a little bit of getting used to.
Do you actually have to swing your phone? That would be cool.
Huh?
If you actually had to swing your phone to do it, that would be cool.
No, this isn't VR, man. This is just a game, an app, and it takes some getting used to the gameplay and stuff. But it's challenging. It's fun though.
So is it single player only? Do you know?
I've only played single player. It does say
take on your friends in one versus
play
1v1
one with your friends over Wi-Fi or personal hotspot.
This game is just amazing. I can't express it in words. It's amazing, joyful, playful, etc. Please add the double player option. But only one problem. Is there the game that is between the game? And many a times the letters would disappear and I had to understand by my own. Hope that the creators reply soon.
Don't know what that means. What's he saying? Oh, you didn't hit the rest of it.
Oh.
If I don't get the reply in 10 days, I would change my rating from a 5 to a 1 star. Well, he must have got his reply.
Funny.
Wait, is it 10? Has it been 10 days since September 9th, though? No, ooh, we don't know.
Oh, we'll have to tune in.
We'll
next
have to
week.
Come back on the 19th to find out.
I didn't notice the click to see more button. Yeah, there we go. I don't know what that wow, review that means, but man, it was an excited review. It's got 22 thumbs up. 22 people thought it was a helpful review by Arian Bahatia.
So other people must be having problems with the game mammy A times the letters.
Okay.
I didn't notice it, but tweet, I don't know. I guess I had to understand by my own, and I didn't. He did.
Titus Argus says, this game is great, but my 100% is destroyed because for whatever reason, my opponent in match mode didn't move at all in set two, their serve. I had to give up the game twice because of this reason, and I was 100% frowny face. It was a frowny face that sold it. All right. Eric, no, that was you, Eric. Dor, what you got?
I'm going to bring this game, and I'll just say this. I almost don't care if you guys initially think you like it or not, because...
I don't even know if I'm going to click it now.
Because initially, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about this. I might have heard about this on All About Android. This might have been a Ron Richards app, now that I say that out loud. I don't know. It might be. Somebody said, I believe, this game, here's the thing, I installed it on the Chromebook. It was a hell of a lot of fun, and it worked like butter smooth on the Chromebook. This is called Grand Mountain Adventure Public Preview Unreleased. Because it's unreleased, there is no reviews, stars, or anything like that. Completely free always because it's in public preview mode. Adventure E for Everyone. Updated August 27, 2018. Installs 10,000 plus. This is a top-down three-quarter static camera kind of angle. Farther out zoomed than you think is what I'll say in the game, but it actually has, and it's a touch slower than I would say real life kind of thing, but the physics in it I found really fun to manipulate and play is what I'll say.
Yeah, you really are sort of a dot a long way away.
This game's beautiful, Dor. It reminds me of, there used to be another ski game similar to this a long time ago. No idea where I played it. It might have been like some kind of computer game even. It reminds me of something, but it's, yeah. This I'm definitely installing this. This is a good find.
Is this a tilt the phone to control? That's what it looks like anyway.
By default, no. By default, there's one on each side button, thumb buttons, and it's supposed to be like your poles, where if you just do the one and push it up even, you'll do a super fast hard turn. If you just do the one, it's just a normal swiping turn. If you hold them both up, you will brake stop. If you tap and hold them both down, you will push yourself to go up a hill. So it's actually shocking how the controls are almost, I don't want to say instinctive kind of thing, but they were pretty easy to pick up. And I'll just say it again, I cannot emphasize it enough. You are zoomed out much further than you think. No matter how far you think and go back a little bit more, it's literally like there's a quadcopter and it's, I don't even know, like 100 feet above your head or something.
Yeah. This is cool. Look, I can't wait to play this game. Good.
Yeah, and I'll say on the Chromebook again, on the Acer Chromebook Flip, thank you very much, Lyle. On that device, playing this was, and honestly, because there's a little bit of bezels on the device, it made it much more difficult for me to accidentally tap. I'd be much more purposeful. Bezel came in handy. What I'll say, very handy. Played like a dream and just had fun. I was almost giggling as I was playing it. Because the crashes were pretty phenomenal.
When you said Chromebook at first, I thought you maybe used the left and right joystick or keyboard keys. I didn't realize you had it flipped up and you were using it like a tablet. Okay, cool.
Yeah. It was like a tablet. So just flip it all the way back, bang, there you go. So that's, and here's the thing. I've owned, I don't even know how many tablets. That fitted the need enough for like a week's worth of tablet usage for me.
I wonder if I can install that on my Amazon Fire 8.
I'm not sure. And the app developer, Top Lava.
I have an email that I don't think I can respond to, but I'm going to try anyway. Michael says, hey guys, great show. Just wondering if Mark could provide an updated review of his TicWatch Pro. I'm considering purchasing one. Thanks, Mike. I don't even know what a TicWatch Pro is, so I think maybe you've got the wrong podcast. My if you're talking about my smartwatch, it's a Moto 360 second edition, which I absolutely adore, but naturally they don't sell anymore.
Well, you should just get a TicWatch Pro and then you'll know. Then I can
review it.
Well, how much is a TicWatch?
I don't know. Googling now.
Pro.
Well, TicWatch Pro. I've heard of the TicWatch Pro, and it's supposed to be a nice watch.
It says it's a premium smartwatch with 5 to 30 days of battery life.
It's $285.
Yeah, it's not bad. It looks like a basic LCD screen. Oh, that's one of the one. That's the one that has the both screens. It has an LCD and a color, one on top of the other. I remember reading about that.
Yep.
Yeah, so in essential mode, that's why you get such great battery life, because in the essential mode, when you're just using the LCD screen, the battery usage is minimal, but then it goes clear, I'm guessing, in some way, and you get the smart mode, where you have an actual smartwatch. Neat idea.
Yeah, I will say, and some company literally just came out with the same thing, except the low battery layer is able to show at least a specific range of colors. I think it's only like 6 colors, but they can actually like almost pick the colors to make it look more, I believe their goal was to make it look more like a natural watch face. It's where they only need like 3 or 4 colors, and they got a new and improved screen, supposedly screen technology. I want to say it literally just came out like a day or two ago. I don't remember anybody on any show mentioning they had a Tick watch.
I'm ready for a new watch. I'm still rocking the original LG G watch, and it will not upgrade to Wear OS. So I'm stuck. It's taken a long time. I think it's 4 or 5 years old now. So they kept up as pretty well, you know, as long as they could. And it's one of the 5 or 6 watches that will not get Wear OS. There's not a lot of them, but it's just that old.
So my review, Mike, having never tried one, is looks like a cool idea, and it may be my next watch.
Oh, it still looks a little
looks lumpy. Thick. Looks dumb. Thick.
On a big guy like me, that's actually a plus.
Honestly, I completely take back everything I said. Yes, you're right. For you, it would look normal, or on me, it would look rotund. You know, kind of thing. I've always had thin wrist. You know what I mean? I always wind up a watch and always end up having too much on it.
All right, Eric, your turn.
Ooh, I'm going to bring in just a cheesy, cheesy game. This is called Lol Cart.
Wait.
What? Oh, did we skip you?
So we're now, okay, now it's okay to do cheesy game.
Yeah, we've just crossed that cheesy game barrier because.
Oh, wait, no, I'm going to bring a serious app. No, we'll bring the cheesy game. We'll save the good stuff. This is called Lol Cart. It's by OBB. It's a racing game. It does contain ads. It contains quite a few ads, actually. But basically, this is a game where you just pick your lane and go back and forth dodging things. But it's got funny little characters, and they blow each other up and run each other off the road and stuff.
So it's like demented Mario Kart.
Yeah, Mario Kart, you need much more skill. This is, so you tap to switch lanes, you tap to do a boost. You're not holding down the gas pedal, there's no braking. It's just switching lanes, basically.
Hey, I'm going to say this out loud. I'm going to probably have to install this on my son's tablet just to hear him freak out on it, because think he would love the,
this
Sakart. Sarcastic how it's almost like Mario Kart, but...
Okay, so there is a setting in this game. Is it this one? No. One of my apps, it may be this one, where you set it to really bad or kid version. Like, it may not be this game. Anyway, it may have that setting, so you might want to look at that.
All right. Like Leisure Suit Larry?
Did that have that?
Remember, it's a very old reference, but yeah, you had different levels of filth you could dial up in that game.
Yeah, that'd be similar to that. I don't remember that part of it.
Yeah, you could have the... Of course, you don't remember it because you always just moved it straight to the full-on nudes and played from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you don't remember
it. I didn't even realize settings. You had an option.
My favorite thing about Leisure Suit Larry was it was the first boss key and everything. Control-B pulled up a resume. So at any time in the game, you hit Control-B and you get a resume on screen. To whom it may concern, I'm interested in this position. Yeah, it was great. One of my favorite jokes. All right.
The chat room says maybe cheesy and crappy are the same thing.
Well, it depends on what kind of cheese it is. If it's Cheese Whiz, then anyway.
That is crappy, yes.
Door, empty the tank.
Okay. What I'm going to give next is, I'm going to bring this one only because somebody out there needs it, not me, because I'm blind as a bat. This is called Bird Identifier. Use the camera and helps find a bird. What's the name of the bird? What's the migration pattern of the bird? Are the feathers worth money? I don't know. They can start Stardew Valley again. I don't know. But if you need to identify birds, literally, Bird Identifier by Happymoji.
Well, Happymoji. Hey, you're right on.
$4.99 to buy, 2 reviews, E for everyone, 5.0 average reviews, of course. Updated September 6, 2018, 6 megs in size, 50 plus installs, version 1.2.1. There is a email link to their website if you want to go check them out. But
if the bird tab wants to know if it's VR, helps
you identify birds. Not that I'm
the
aware.
Only, it doesn't really play to the variety and capacity of different kind of birds in their little pictures here. They show a hummingbird and a kingfisher, and that's the only two they show over and over and over again. It doesn't.
First off, they're advertising to people that don't know.
That don't know that there's more than two kinds of birds?
It's got a high quality database maintained by scientists and collaborators around the world. So,
but wouldn't you at least throw in there 10,000, 100,000 species? 10 species? There's 2 so far we know of.
To make bird identifier work best, you should take a close and clear photo of the bird for analysis, because you can always get really close to a wild bird.
Especially the hummingbirds. They're really easy to get pictures of. They sit there for you, perched on a limb for hours.
They do for me. I'm a friggin' Disney princess.
Really? Well, then they can just tell you what kind of bird they are, because you can talk to them.
I would start singing now, but, you know, I don't want to embarrass
anybody. What else
anybody.
You got, Dor?
What I have next is a app, and this, again, is only for a selective bunch of people, but those of us who own Chromebooks, there's 2 types. There's the kind who don't care and just run it, which is like my father-in-law. And then there's people like me that have it and are actually a little bit interested in what version it's running, what is coming next, am I going to get this feature on my Chromebook kind of thing. There's this application, CROS Updates by Vladislav.
Stop it, you're going to hurt yourself.
I know. But it's by some guy, I think. It's by a human being.
So is this probably a database of Chromebooks?
What it is, it's a system where you can go through, find your Chromebook, subscribe to it, and it will tell you when updates come out for it and what the feature set is. It's basically like a change log notifier, okay, is the way I think of it. But at the same time, I can then search other Chromebooks and see what version they're up to and what happens. Because here's the, for instance, the very first Chromebook, Pixelbook, which has been out for a while now, not been sold for a while either. Yesterday, it became end of life, which means you can go buy one. You will never get an update on it. It stopped getting updates. Done. No more. It's history. It's kaput. Planned obsolescence to a T. To a T. If you are going to have a picture of something in the dictionary right now, it's a Chromebook. Chromebooks are meant to expire. A lot of people are mad at that. I'll say that. They feel like, well, I bought it. Well, yes, you did. And they have to do the work of keeping the OS up to date. So after 5 years, it's expired. And it's from original retail date is the way that
they do it. But it'll still turn on and do most of the things it did when you bought it brand new, right?
Technically, yeah. I'm sure.
I think that's everything, pretty much.
Well, you know, I'll say this. On like old computers, you could put old Linux on it or something if you wanted. With the Chromebook, it's sometimes very difficult or near impossible to put something else on it. So, you know, if you have one and you want to stay up to date and you want to see if you're going to get the Linux subsystem, do you want to see if you're up to the latest version? Do you want to see, you know, what's in the Canary build up for your device? What's in the dev build of your device? Because there's 2 different dev versions. Then this would be, I think, a pretty good app. CROS Updates. CROS is one word, cross updates. And I'm going to bring one more here. And this, to me, is an app for people who want to see what Android Pie. I do miss Pie, but I can't have Pie. Android P volume control is like. This is not exactly like it from what I see. And I don't even have Pie, but I've seen in videos and stuff. And what I see in this app, in this video, is similar in nature to how it is for the advanced volume controls on P, you can at least have something like it if you want. This is the kind of app where I find truly unique, like Mark just powered up that old device. This is the kind of app you would find on that device. This is an app that has a preset lifespan. It might not know how long it's around for because it depends on how long pre-Pi devices are in existence, but that's the lifespan of this app. And then it's dead.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar, I guess, to the volume. When I access the volume, it's not in the middle of the screen, and I can't drag it to the middle of the screen. And there's also a settings button on the actual volume that would then open up all your volumes to quickly change them however you want. Can't change the color on the stock Android P volume, though, like you can on this.
A Google user says it's full of ads. Ads on every click. Ads when you want to enable a single function. If you don't much like ads, do not download. So, there you go.
Yeah, that would be not good when you're trying to adjust your volume real quick for some reason and an ad pops up. Probably blaring when you're trying to turn it down quickly.
I will say, you know, haven't had Root in forever. I am almost tempted to get Root on this, and there are now better, easier, less hackery type ways to implement what is basically local on the device ad black holing, to where nothing will even pop up. There won't be like an empty frame or anything of an ad, like a missing ad there. There are systems out there that make it much easier to do, where back in our day, it was a bag of mixed results. You know, sometimes it would work, sometimes it would partially work, sometimes it would kind of work, sometimes it would work pretty good, and then sometimes it just did nothing. So I'm tempted to, but my logic is this. If you're that excited for P, watch the ads or go buy a brand new device.
Fair enough.
If you're that excited for a P volume switch, I mean, there's other things in P too, like the phone itself, the dialer is totally different. The volume, I guess, is. I don't know. It's a part of it.
All right, Eric, empty that tank.
Okay, this one's for Door. This is by Nitrome. It's called Ultimate Briefcase. This is a game that's extremely challenging, but I just thought that Door might like to play this kind of game.
Okay.
So basically it's kind of like a side-scrolling 16-bit Galaga-type game where you're just trying to avoid things and shoot things out of the sky. You get big bosses up there and stuff. I don't know. Thought you'd like it.
Okay. Oh, man. It took like 10 seconds to get to actual
gameplay. It just, for some reason, they put the storyline in
so,
there.
So, do you actually shoot, or do you just avoid?
You avoid for a while. You do end up shooting.
As I say, because in the beginning, it's almost like Kaboom on Atari, which is a game that I truly hated, maybe more than anything in my life. At that age, because, you know, that was when I was like 8 years old, 10 years old. I hated Kaboom so much. I sucked so miserably bad at it.
How did you feel about Kaboom?
Yeah. I had some general disdain for it. But then when you start to shoot now, that's better. Because, you know, Gagulus and Space Invaders and stuff like that. Yeah, I can at least play that. But I'd have to get past that avoidance type part. But good graphics. I like them.
I thought you might. The next app I kind of used recently because we had a lot of rain here, and I now have my trailer parked at a permanent spot along the river, and I had to deal with my first flooding incident. But luckily, the river came up 4 feet, and it wasn't enough to get to my trailer.
Did you just say you have a van down by the river?
No, trailer.
Just need to move into it.
Camper.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Travel trailer.
I'm sorry. Alternate universe slipped in here for a second.
What's a van down by the river?
It's a Chris Farley thing.
Oh, yes. Okay. So this is River Level, all one word, by C.W.
Quasinius.
C.W. Assinines. I don't know.
Quasinius.
Quasinius, yes. Travel and local.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Wait.
Be quiet and let him do it.
Oh.
Yep.
So this will give you the gauge level flow and temperature from, I think they take out of the National Weather Service or National Water Service or whoever makes our water here, and rebroadcast it into this app, make it a little prettier. But it doesn't give, if I actually go to the actual water.gov or whatever it is I look at, it'll actually give me a prediction and tell me which way it's trending or how it's going to, you know, be in the next couple of days where this doesn't, this is just more historical data and lets me know where it's at right now. But you can set alerts. So if the river gets up to 15 feet, it'll send me an alert. Hey, the river just got up to 15 feet. So that's good to have, because when it gets up to 16 feet, I really need to think about considering pulling my trailer out of there.
Do you own the land down by the river?
No, I rent it, but I was on a list for 10 years to get there.
Okay.
Nice spot, man. We'll have to have a meet up there.
It's not just any spot. I'm sorry. I like the idea of this. I'm literally going to install it. My mother-in-law's property backs up to a creek, is the best way I can put it. A creek, I guess. I don't know. Water. Literally, where you can put a boat in. People have boats, and they drop them, and they go out, and they somehow can end up in the Chesapeake Bay. That's all I know. It's all connected waterway. So I'm going to have to get this literally tonight, because tomorrow is the day where we're, I think, supposed to get the bulk of this rain.
So are there, the thing is, they have, is there flow meters in that creek? Has she ever looked at the National Weather Service to see if...
We have flow meters. Yeah, they have flow meters. They have flow gauges. Wetness meter. They have all the meters.
They dumped them all in the creek. Now they're there.
I know, but here's why I feel good, Eric, because on the third screenshot, Baltimore, Maryland, Middle River, we're just to the east of that.
I didn't realize I brought this app for you. Cool. I
do believe, honestly, if you zoom in, you can see my house. I'm pretty sure. All the way on the right side, if you zoomed in right, remember if we had, what, three words?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Tarantula, Tangeray, Jack, I don't know, something. Three words. You would be in that spot.
Cool, man.
All right, what else you got, Eric?
I've got an app that helps people save money or buy more crap they don't need.
I swear, if it's an auto insurance app, I will tell you.
I would never do that. I would never promote any kind of insurance. Yard Sale Treasure Map, I will promote. And this is by I'm going to let Mark take this one.
Kaloji Enterprises.
Yes. So if you're in a larger metropolitan area, this probably works good. Where I'm at, we really don't, nobody's putting their yard sales on here. So, but, you know, if it's a nice Saturday afternoon and you're like, dang, man, this $5 is burning a hole in my pocket.
So it's,
I wonder if there's any yard sales. Pull this app out and it'll give you directions there and map them all out for you.
It scrapes Craigslist. Yard Sale Treasure Map is an app for accessing Craigslist garage sales on mobile devices. So if it's on Craigslist, it's in the app.
Well, my locals need to start getting on Craigslist, I guess. They don't.
4.3 average reviews.
That's my tank, Mark. Eric, oh my God! Hey, does this map show? Oh my God! It's not like, oh my gosh, this is Baltimore, Maryland. All the yard sales on the screenshot, but no, it's San Diego.
Can I ask you just in general, how do you feel about flea markets or yard sales? I'm sorry, yard sales, not flea markets. Yard sales.
I love yard sales.
You love?
I don't love having them, but I like going and shopping at them.
A friend of mine gave me the best description ever. They're neighborhood junk exchanges. All the neighbors get together, and you take my junk, and next week I'll take your junk.
That's really how I work. I don't have a yard sale to sell my junk. I take it to Goodwill, but then I also buy other junk at Goodwill, and I rent everything from Goodwill, including my clothes. As I change sizes or something I don't like, I just give it back to Goodwill, and I'll buy a couple more shirts there at Goodwill. It's like Goodwill rental, and I just get to keep it as long as I feel like it. But then it does go, I've got a place, it goes back when I'm done with
so
it.
So it's like the Netflix of clothing.
Exactly. Yeah. Clothing and everything, household items.
You can get up to three shirts at a time, keep them as long as you want, send them back and get three more shirts.
Yeah.
For a low monthly fee.
That is exactly how I run my household. Just like that. Except for food, you can't do that with yet. But most things, yes. There's just a revolving door.
Like stores fronts, I don't mind. Thrift stores, they're okay. Yard sales, I'm pretty sure the only way I could find any biological measurement of enjoyment out of going to a yard sale is if I had a Tesla flamethrower. Because I'm sure 90% of it is just
door.
And I'll just say this, I'll take this opportunity. He smoked a blunt on a YouTube video with Joe Rogan while employed at a company where they have a very strict policy against such.
Have you watched that? Entire?
Of course.
Oh, man. That's a great episode. Probably the only.
I don't need to listen to Ellen any more than I already have.
If I,
He's taken the company down.
I'm not a Joe Rogan fan, and that's probably the only episode I'll ever watch. I've listened to him. I'm not a fan. But this that entire two-hour episode is amazing, dude. It is so cool.
What I'm asking is, how much of Joe Rogan have you listened to that it has been made in the last 6 months and then the last year and then the last two or more years? Okay. Because he is, I'll tell you this. If you listen to him now, he is definitely a completely different person than I remember hearing 3 years ago. Like, mentally, completely different.
Okay. He was much better than I remembered. Yeah, this is, okay. So when I say none, I mean one. I've listened to 2 hours of him.
We'll never know what he had to say.
Comcast.
Let me go over here, mark my audacity with a marker. Ellen. Yes, his name is Ellen. His name is not Elon. I'm saying that again, because that's his name. His name is Ellen.
Am I back?
We'll see if Eric pops back in here. And I just don't have time for that.
Oh, hey, all right. Welcome back. No, I've listened to 2 hours of Joe Rogan, and that was during this one, this episode. It was good. It's Elon. It's not Ellen. Hey Elon.
It's not Elon.
Hey,
it's
Elon. Ellen.
Talk. How many South Africans have you talked to in the last year, Eric?
Is Nigeria in South Africa?
Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me think about that for a second.
Do you mean the country or do you mean the physical South Africa? Anyway.
I'm not even going to answer that, okay, now, because South Africans pronounce it Ellen, because it's Ellen, okay, that's what it is. You can call him Elon all you want, but that's kind of like calling me Stephen McLaughlin. I'm going to still answer when you call my name, but it's not
totally right. Calling you Stephen
so,
from now on.
So while also on that podcast, they drank a whiskey earlier before they fired up that blunt or whatever.
How expensive it was that?
It was called Old Camp. Ever heard of it? Me either. So my sister invited us to the bar last night, and I didn't know what to drink. You know, now that I go to the bar, I never know what to drink because I don't want to have a beer. I happened to see that bottle there. I'm like, well, shoot, that must not be that elite. I would like an Old Camp on the rocks. And did I go?
Did we lose Eric again?
Comcast, just a side man.
Note, I don't have any stories in my life ever that begin with the phrase, my sister invited us to the bar. Just
am I back?
Put that out there.
Well, trying to think, maybe I can make a
hi, Comcast. Thank you very much. I'm so counting the days when I have my fiber to the home.
Last thing so we heard was it must Elon be that not bar. Be that elite.
Yeah. So I ordered one on the rocks and I drank it. I took a sip. I'm like, this is like nothing I've ever tasted before. I'm like, give me that bottle. What is this? It's peach and pecan flavored whiskey. Give it a. I'm just saying, give it a try. I actually ended up drinking the entire bottle they had and finished it off. They ran out. It was
well. First off, Eric, I can't stand peaches, and there's probably sugar in it because of peaches. So
I looked it up. I looked it up for carbs. It wasn't bad. Sugar. I didn't look at that too closely.
It was right next to it.
Yeah, it was. My Fitness Pal didn't have it in there. I could look. Look.
Oh, okay. I'll say my sister-in-law said something I honestly believe to be unbelievably
while accurate. She invited you to the bar then? Is that when she said it to you?
No. But flavor-enhanced stuff like that, she generalized it and said IPAs are the male DB version of pumpkin spice latte.
I agree.
And it sounds like that whiskey isn't too far from being something like that, is what I'll say.
Could be. You could be right.
I don't know. I mean, I'll try it. I'll try almost any drink that's available, but I'm not going to offer any kind of remote guarantee on...
Zero grams of sugars. So they must flavor it the way LaCroix gets flavored or something.
By sitting next to a fruit in the truck on the way over?
I was going to say, comparing it to LaCroix, now you just want me to avoid it.
What?
Make up your mind there.
I don't like peaches. I don't like pecans, and I don't like alcohol. I'm going to run out and try that drink right now. No, I don't like pecans.
You don't like pecan pie? No,
it's too sweet.
Oh, pecan pie, yeah.
Like a whole whipped cream. I like it when you can't even see the filling or so many pecans.
Yeah, yeah.
Pecans are like gnawing on little pieces of flavorless wood.
Well, I can see. I mean, if you don't pick those little pieces of flavorless wood out of there, yes, you got to really work at it to keep that away.
The house I owned for 15 years, almost 20 years in Texas, had pecan trees in it. paper shell, Texas paper shell pecans, and we used to pick them up by the bucket load, but we gave them away, sold some, mostly gave them away. I'm not a pecan person.
I'd love to have a pecan tree. I'd love to have any kind of fruit bearing or nut bearing tree, really. I planted two cherry trees and they both died.
I don't know. I mean, I'll say I only worked at a pizza place for like maybe a year or no, maybe 2 years. I know I didn't eat pizza for like 10 years after that, you know? So maybe it's like that. You know?
All right. I'm going to wrap this mini series up before we end up, you know, in some Gone with the Wind special or something. By the way, I watched that movie after having been told my whole life that it's some Gone with the Wind. Yeah, I have been told my whole life it's an American classic.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It sucked in every way.
It is so slow. It is so slow. It is everything is drawn out to be so, at least 20 minutes.
Eric,
you just saved me. You just saved me 6 hours, yeah. Didn't you, or something like
yeah,
that?
4 hours. Yeah. So you raised a teenage daughter, Eric. Imagine that for 4 hours.
Oh, that is
teenage girl temper tantrums for 4 hours.
There ain't too many of that. I shook them when they were little so they'd respect me. They don't really do anything.
Shaking baby syndrome. It cures everything.
Tantrums. You know, I actually said that to my pediatrician once. She's like, oh, man, your kids are really well behaved. I'm like, yeah, I shook them when they were babies so they'd respect me. And she just looked at me. She thought I was serious, man. Don't say that to your pediatrician. And I think there's some new parents in the audience tonight.
I'm pretty sure there's a state law. Well, but don't worry. He's in Canduadia.
Yeah.
Up in Canada, you can do that kind of thing. It's still okay.
Yeah, I didn't go to jail for it. She looked at me kind of crooked.
You can feed the moose too. You can take the little baby and feed it to the moose too. That's perfectly
virtual reality by Tender Claws. Shaq Fu, a legend reborn by Mad Dog Games. Fast Food Stand, fried food cooking game by Junior Game Studio. Badminton League by Redfish Games. Grand Mountain Adventure public preview unreleased by Top Lover. Lol Cart by OBB. Bird Identifier by Hapmoji. CROS updates by Vladislav Hinoraliuk. I'm going with that. Volume controls, Android P. P volume controls, free by Yogesh Dama. Or is it Dharma? Dama, yeah. Ultimate Briefcase by Nitrome. River Level by Quasenius. And Yard Sale Treasure Map by Coleridge Enterprises. 12 apps, ladies and gentlemen, plus so much more on this episode tonight.
Thank you very much, Mark. I want to thank everyone again for their support. Thank everyone even more for their patience. I will say, engagement drives content. If you guys want more content, then you got to communicate with us and let us know. One guy in a tub alone is not enough to move more than like a little mound of dirt.
Even if he is drunk.
Especially if he's drunk. And I'm not.
So there's not a problem with getting drunk. It's getting drunk without inviting you. That's the issue.
Well, no, because if I am and he's not, it's ugly. If he is and I'm not, it's also ugly. You know? It's going to be ugly.
All right. Well, I will say, as I often do, if you would like to support this show, as Eric, as Dor just said, interaction, feedback, speaking, emailing, letting us know you're out there and that you care. These are good things. But also another good thing is throwing money and precious gifts at the feet of our dear leader. You can do that over at patreon.com/androidappaddicts. If you think this show is worth a buck, give us a buck. That's all I got to say about that. Eric, what are your final words of wisdom for the night?
Well, if they're going to give us stuff, that emailer gave us some content.
Eric is missing.
And now I want to tick watch. Am I gone
you're
again?
You're back now.
Okay. And that emailer got me wanting a tick watch. So if you're going to give away stuff to the hosts, you can send me one of them. That'd be cool.
Okay. It's en route. It's going to be in your mail. Just hold your breath.
All right, everybody, that's it for this show. Thanks for listening, and that's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts podcast.
This is Martin from Podnuts Pro. Thank you so much for choosing this podcast to be in your ears right now. Don't forget to support all the other Podnuts shows on the Podnuts Network, and we cannot do this without you. So please, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us at podnutspro@podnuts.com.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.